church say amen. Amen again. We are grateful to God. Amen. You make all things new. And I will follow you what? Forward. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say forward, forward, forward. I can't go back. Amen. But I've got to move forward. Community of Hope, it's good to see you this morning. Amen. Amen. Bright and early in the morning. God bless all of y'all that pressed your way through the rain and the fog. Amen. Amen. We thank God and we believe there's a blessing in the present. I believe that God is making a way. Do me a favor, turn with me to Song of Songs, the Old Testament book, Song of Songs, the second chapter. Song of Songs, the second chapter, Song of Solomon, the second chapter, the 14th verse. As you're turning, I do want to bring you greetings from Reverend Bill. Reverend Bill, I believe, is on a plane right now. Amen. Amen. Coming back from Madrid. Amen. He has been chilling and has left the rest of us here in the United States, but he is on his way back. I want to thank God. Reverend Bill always does it big time. That the rest of us saw Black Panther on the national scene. He saw Black Panther in Madrid. Amen. Amen. That's just balling. Amen. That's just balling. He saw Black Panther in Madrid, but we're excited he has had a chance to get away. I want to thank God for all of you that kept me in your prayers as I was in Arizona this past week. I had all of you all praying for me as I had a very significant, important presentation to share with a group of clergy, a group of preachers. And I want to thank God the Lord moved in a mighty way. Amen. I felt you all's prayers tremendously. And we just want to thank God for how God moved and how God blessed in such a rich fashion. And it was to God's honor and to God's glory. Song of Solomon, the second chapter, verse 14. If you got it, say, I've got it. Amen. It reads as this, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside. Show me your face, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we share on the sermon subject this morning, the challenge of a dusty lifestyle. The challenge of a dusty lifestyle. Let us look to the Lord God. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I'm grateful. Grateful, God, for this moment. Grateful, God, for this hour. Now, God, in the name of Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this place. Grab a hold of me. Use me, God, to your honor, to your glory. Send fire from heaven. Send the preachers. Send the Holy Ghost. Save, heal, deliver, set the captive free. And we'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. My brothers and my sisters, I come by today because I want to talk about the challenge of a dusty lifestyle. You all know that myself and Reverend Bill have been preaching in a sermon series during this Lenten season about fighting kryptonite. You all know about the superhero Superman. Superman, this superhero, DC Comics are put forward, this superhero that was powerful, this superhero that had superhuman powers, this superhero that came from a place called Krypton, and when he came to the world, when he came to the earth, that his powers enabled him to do things that were more powerful than mere humans could be able to do. But the interesting thing is that there was one thing that could limit Superman. There was one thing that could weaken Superman. There was one thing that could even kill Superman, and it's what's called kryptonite. The kryptonite came from the ore, came from the foundations of the planet he grew up called Krypton. And when the planet exploded, that some of that went throughout the universe in different spaces. And it was this kryptonite that came from his home planet that was able to weaken Superman. That Superman was more powerful than a locomotive. He was able, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look, up in the sky is a bird. It's a plane. It's what? it's Superman. But here, this Superman, this man with these superhuman abilities, this thing called kryptonite could be able to weaken him, could be able to kill him. And the interesting thing is, I researched kryptonite, Reverend Wells, is that I saw that there were different kinds of kryptonite, that you had green kryptonite and red kryptonite and blue kryptonite and white kryptonite and gold kryptonite. And each form of kryptonite had a different kind of effect or impact upon him, these things that could weaken him, that could limit him, that could tear him down, this kryptonite. But what I also learned about kryptonite was that it was not necessarily that the kryptonite had to touch him, because it was the radiation from the kryptonite, Lord have mercy, that would weaken him. And so proximity, Lord have mercy, to kryptonite would be able to hold him down. But not just that, it did not have to be a big block of kryptonite. But what I realized and what caught me and what I want to focus us on today is that kryptonite dust could have the same impact, Lord have mercy, that a kryptonite rock. There was actually a one comic book in which a Superman was buried under kryptonite dust, Lord have mercy, and the kryptonite dust almost killed him. I could understand if he was buried under a kryptonite mountain. I could understand if he had been penetrated by a kryptonite sword. I could understand if it was a kryptonite boulder. But what got me was dust. He should have been able to push himself up off of. I mean, this is one of the most powerful people on the globe, but yet kryptonite dust almost killed him, because it was not about the fact of how big it was, but it was the fact of its impact on his life. And one of the challenges, my brothers and my sisters, I believe, is not that you live in a filthy lifestyle, but some of our lifestyles are too dusty. Some of our lifestyles are too dusty, that it's not that you have so much going on, but I've come by to talk today about what it means to live a dusty lifestyle. When we look at the scripture, what we find is King Solomon is in love. King Solomon is in love, and the scripture is basically several love poems, several love letters that King Solomon writes going back between him and his lady friend and his wife. And as you see these letters, in this letter, what happens is she says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." It just basically talks about how to keep dust up out your relationship, the challenge of a dusty lifestyle. One of the first things I want you to understand, if you're going to understand the challenge of a dusty lifestyle, is that small things matter. Turn to somebody, tell them, small things matter. It's interesting to me that when I look at this scripture, the scripture writer says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes." It doesn't even say the big foxes. I would think that you would prioritize the big foxes. I would think that you would prioritize the big foxes. I would think that you would prioritize the biggest of the animals. But what this writer says is, catch the little foxes that ruin the vine. Catch the little foxes that ruin the vine. Because what you've got to understand is that sometimes you can get so caught up on the big stuff that you miss the little stuff that's going to tear you down. You can get so caught up on the big sins. You can get so caught up on the kind of sins that make headlines that you miss the little stuff that cripples you and weakens you. And it's like dusty kryptonite. Lord have mercy. You can miss the dusty areas of your life. Let me help you here. When we look at this issue about these little foxes, what you'll realize is that foxes are nocturnal creatures. Foxes are nocturnal creatures. And what happens is, that means that they come out at night. They come out at night, but during the daytime, that's when they sleep. And what you understand about foxes is that foxes like to dig holes for themselves during the daytime to be able to sleep in. And what the sister understood was that the vineyards were places in which they bore great fruit. They bore great grapes. They bore great grapes that made great wine and made great commerce. But if you had little foxes, Lord have mercy, big foxes, it'd be harder for them to really get all up into the vines. But the little foxes would dig holes in the vineyard and they'd be able to sleep there. But what happens when a fox digs a hole is it messes up with the root system of the vineyard. And so therefore then the vines stop producing the kind of fruit they're trying to produce because the root system has been messed with. And I've come by to talk to somebody today because the challenge is that it's not just that you see the destruction of the foxes on the top end. They may eat the fruit, amen somebody, but the challenge isn't just whether they're going to eat your grapes. The challenge is that when they mess with the root system, God have mercy, Jesus, and that can cause you to end up having vines that are not fruitful. And one of the challenges for us, my brothers and my sisters, is that we end up not being as fruitful as we used to be in previous seasons. And we're trying to figure out, why is it I'm not producing the way I used to produce? And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen that right when they eat the roots. That's not right when you see the decay of the vine. But they eat the roots, and it takes a while for the vine to wither up. And somebody in the house today, it's not the big things that are tearing you down. It's the little foxes. It's the little dust that is wearing you down and is causing you to be what? Less fruitful. It's the little things that matter. The second thing you've got to understand is that small things multiply. Turn to somebody, tell them, small things multiply. Small things multiply. What do you mean? I was looking at an article about foxes, and I realized in Australia, the red fox was introduced to Australia in 1870. In 1870, they brought the red fox to the continent, which is like an island continent. They brought the red fox to the continent. It was not indigenous to the continent, but they brought it there because they wanted to do recreational hunting. They brought it there for fox hunts. But the challenge was that those red foxes ended up populating and ended up growing so rapidly. They ended up breeding so rapidly that now they are responsible for over $200 million of agricultural impact a year. In other words, that they brought the little foxes to their island. They brought the little foxes to their continent, their island continent, that they could not have gotten there unless somebody brought it there. They brought it there because they said, it's a little fox. We'll hunt the little fox. It's a little fox. We'll play with the little fox. It's a little fox. We'll use a little fox for our amusement. But what they brought for their amusement ended up growing so quickly and populating so quickly and breeding so fastly that it's overwhelmed the continent and it's bringing over $200 million worth of damage to their agricultural situation. Somebody in the house today, you can't play with no little foxes. Somebody in the house today, you've got to stop hunting little foxes. Somebody in the house today, you've got to stop thinking that you are in control of little foxes, because what you got to understand is foxes multiply. And I know you think it's a little thing right now. I know you think it's a little lie right now. I know you think it's a little gossip right now. I know you think it's a little bit of cheating right now. I know you think it's a little bit of backbiting right now. But when that thing starts to multiply, you tell me, Pastor, I'm not a bad person. I don't steal and I don't rob and I don't sell drugs. I know I just do it. I know you just cheated a little bit on your taxes. I know it's a little fire stick right now. I know it's just a little thing right now. But baby, little things multiply. And when you bring the little stuff into your life, the enemy has a way of taking the little things and multiplying them for many. The small things multiply. But the third thing, and I'm going to be up out of here, is that small things also bring victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, small things bring victory. You've got to understand that when you deal with the small things, it's not just about the small things you got to get rid of. It's a small thing you need to bring to you. It's just that the small things bring victory. The Wall Street Journal very recently, this past week, had an article. The article was called The Art of the Millisecond. The Art of the Millisecond. The Wall Street Journal was dealing with the Olympics and dealing with the fact that in many Olympic medals, that the difference between gold and silver is a tenth of a second. The difference between gold and silver, the difference between loss and victory is a tenth of a second. And the Wall Street Journal was talking about the fact that there is an art, there is a discipline, there is a science, that there are ways that people train so that they can get that extra tenth of a second. That if you want to be an Olympic gold medalist, you've got to understand it's not just about being bigger, it's not just about being stronger, it's not just about being faster, but it's also about paying attention to your technique. It's also about paying attention to the kind of gear you have on. It's also about paying attention to your outfit, because everything matters. And if you're trying to win by a tenth of a second, and I've come by to talk to somebody today because I've come by to let you know that you can't get so caught up on the fact that you're so gifted, you're so talented, and you're so brilliant, and you're so cute. But you've got to understand that there's some issues in which a victory will come by the small things. A victory will come by your prayer life. Victory will come by your devotion. devotional time, victory will come. But that little bit of time you spend in scripture, I know it seems like a little bit, but day by day it adds up to a whole lot. The victory will come. By the fact that when folks are talking about somebody, you walk away from the conversation and say, that's not how I'm living. Victory will come. By the fact that you make ethical decisions, that even when everybody else is going one way, you go a different way. Victory will come. Because you pay attention to the small things. And when you pay attention to the small things, that God said if you're faithful over a few things, then God would make you ruler over many. Y'all don't believe me about the small things, but if you look in scripture, it talks about the small things. And it says, Lord have mercy, that if you've got the faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can look at a mountain and tell the mountain to move up out of my way and be cast into the sea. That God can help you to use the small things to bring you the victory. Is there anybody in the house today that knows it's the small things? That when I get up in the morning and I say, thank you, Jesus, it seems small to somebody else, but it's an attitude of gratitude that propels me along my way. That when I say I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus, it may seem small to you, but baby, it's the world to me. That when I stepped out on the road today and said, Lord, help me to make it to the church safely, it may have seemed like a small prayer to you, but it was a huge covering for me. That I don't know about you, but it's the small things that matter. When you grab your child on their way to school and say, in the name of Jesus, you shall be great. I know it seems like a small thing, but baby, small things bring victory. Have I got anybody in the house that knows it? Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. It may seem like a small stretch to you, but baby, it's me stretching to eternity for me. That I've come by to tell somebody that small things matter. How do you know that small things matter? Well, when I look back at Superman and how he deals with kryptonite, what I realized is that when people would bring kryptonite against Superman, that nothing could help him unless he had a lead box, because lead could block the radioactive nature of the kryptonite. That a little bit of lead could save his life. A little bit of lead could give him protection. A little bit of lead could make a way out of no way. A little bit of lead could be all the protection that he needed. Well, I've come by to let somebody know there was another Superman over 2,000 years ago, and his name was Jesus. Jesus, he hung on an old rugged cross for me and you. That Jesus, he came that we might live. That Jesus, he called the blind to see and the lame to walk. I'm talking about Jesus. They took him to a kangaroo court. They took him up Golgotha's hill. But Jesus understood that unlike Superman, he didn't need lead, but all he needed was some iron. I'm talking about the nails that they pierced him in his hands, and they pierced him in his feet. Is there anybody here that knows just a little bit can help bring you victory? And because of the blood of Jesus, I've got the victory. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. The blood, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood, the blood. It may seem small to you, but it changed my world. It may seem small to you, but it changed my eternity. It may seem small to you, but the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. If I got anybody in here that can praise them for the blood, if I got anybody in here that can shout for the blood, if I got anybody in here that knows I've got the victory over the enemy and the world, can't do me no harm. Won't you stand all over the church, all that are able? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.